Well, it's very good to be together with all of you this morning. I'm glad that we could do this today. As every time we do it, I'm glad that we can get together. God bless you. All right. This morning, I want to pick up on something that Jesus is said. I don't know if you picked it up. I mean, there's an awful lot of things in this gospel reading that are fairly piercing. And the one that really struck me was when he said, "You hypocrites." Now, I've looked ahead in weeks to come, and next week he says the same thing, "You hypocrites." So what I wanted to do is start today on the next 3 weeks, starting today in 3 weeks, is how not to be a hypocrite. Because you just don't want Jesus coming up to you and saying, "You hypocrite." You know, how can we avoid this situation? That's what we're going to do. I want you to remember that we do that sort of thing here at St. Francis, kind of a public service, helping people not get into this situation. And remember, you heard it here at St. Francis, how not to be a hypocrite. A few years back when we were in Pennsylvania, I remember we had the vestry meeting. I know some of you are not Episcopalians. That's our like board. We get together and we vote and stuff like that. And our vestry was meeting. And we had a decision to make, which I forget what it was, but we had an important decision to make. And so we decided to pray a little bit. And we all took some time quietly. We're listening to God. And and then I started saying, as I do with you often, "Well, what do you think God is saying?" And so, you know, somebody said, "Well, I think this," and somebody said, I think that." And somebody else chimed in and started saying, "A list of things. I think God is saying all these things." So, okay, we talked about him a little while, and he finally said, "Well, no, God really wasn't saying all of that. I was trying to help God along a little bit." We used to call that hamburger helper. Have you ever eat hamburger helper? It just didn't help anything. And this didn't help either. It set us back. It wasn't what we needed to do. And it's a bit of what Jesus is talking about when he says, "You hypocrites." See, when Jesus says hypocrite, he's using the Hebrew kind of approach and culture. And that's what he was raised in. And it's a very different meaning than our current culture. See, for Jesus, the word hypocrite primarily means godless. For us, it'll mean two-faced, saying one thing and doing another. Now, of course, being godless, you could say one thing and do another. But there's more to it than that. In that culture, that's what he was getting at. And in other words, for us, those of us who follow Jesus, one of the things that he really pushes us to do, prompts us to do all the time, is depend on him totally, completely, without any exception. Everything is always all about Jesus, all the time. And then holding on to that, trusting in that, leaning on that, those of you who raised Baptists, leaning on the everlasting arms, all of that, that's the deal. And when we're not doing that, what we're doing is depending on our own understanding, our own self, and that's what Jesus is saying is godless. Now, isn't this another time where you get a little annoyed with Jesus saying, "Okay, all right, you mean I can't think on my own?" Well, yes, you can think on your own. So, you know, like if you're down to your last pencil at home and you take notes with pencils, I don't think you have to pray about how many pencils to go out and buy. You can think of that on your own. There's other things about depending on the Lord. Like my friend at the vestry meeting who came up with the hamburger helper answer to prayer. That was not depending on the Lord. The guy was trying to see if we could pull something off. Can we actually do this in our own understanding? And it had to do with the church. And so everything that has to do with the church, Jesus is the head of. And he was hypocritical in the sense of being godless. In other words, not tapping into God is godless. And that's what Jesus is saying is hypocrisy and what he's talking about. Now, I do want to encourage you that you don't commit hypocrisy the way we think about it today. Please do not go about saying one thing and doing another. Just don't do that. Even though that's not what Jesus is saying here, don't do that either. So, but we're not going to concentrate on that one. We're going to concentrate on how not to be godless, how not to be a hypocrite. And Jesus has this very disconcerting description before he gets into saying, "You hypocrites." And he says this: the families will be divided because of him. Father against son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Now, I know that you know that families get divided. And you might know families that are like this one that Jesus is describing. And they get divided for all kinds of reasons. And maybe your family's had a bit of that, or more than you want, or some close friends of yours, or whoever it may be, just because of one thing or another. But what Jesus is saying here is that families will be divided because of him. He's focusing in, narrowing in on the reason that's on his mind, which is some families will turn against each other because of me. And it's not that, I mean, this is a popular way of thinking about it. So what Jesus is saying is this. Somebody in the family will accept Christ and start following Jesus, and the others won't, and they'll all be divided about that. Well, okay, that's not going to be easy, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here either, I don't think. I think what's going on is this. Remember that in Jesus' day, a household was a big deal. And there were people in the household of multiple generations. And it was the business. It was the way the economy worked. So a household would have several generations, maybe some others in the house, and they'd be running a business, and that's how things would go. That's how things would operate in that culture. And so the way people became Christians was entire households became Christians. Everybody, maybe not at the same moment, but there's all kinds of examples of that. You may remember some in the book of Acts where the entire household came to Jesus. They all went down to the river and got baptized all together. That was normal. That was the normal way of how the Christian faith expanded during those days. House to house is how it went. And those households, of course, were the bigger households, much bigger than ours. So here we have whole households that have come to Christ, and Jesus says, these families will be divided. Some of them will be divided because of me. Well, they're already following him. So what's going on? Some of the members of the family would want to do this Christian practice or that Christian practice, or go along this path in following Jesus, and others would want to do a different one. And that's how the family would be divided, because there would not be agreement on that. And that has gone on since that day till the present. I mean, how many local congregations have divided because one group wanted to do it this way and another group wanted to do it that way? More than we want to say. Denominations have started that way. And Jesus said, they will be divided because of me. Now, what's that got to do, as interesting as that is, what does that got to do, you might be thinking, with being a hypocrite? Well, remember, hypocrisy is being godless. And what I would like to suggest is that this division, and then I want to apply it to every area of our lives, but this kind of division in the family could be addressed by leaning on the wisdom of Jesus. You know, what does Jesus want among us? Where is Jesus in the middle of this? What is Jesus asking us to do? Just because this group over here loves to sing that hymn that this group over here just can't stand doesn't mean Jesus isn't in the middle of it. Jesus is right there. So what would be the way to go? Well, personally, what I would encourage you to think about is this. It's looking for Jesus and saying, instead of praying things like, well, Jesus, could you please, with that other group, could you get them straightened out somehow? Could you make sure that they see what I see and that they agree with us and then we all go together, that they change their ways? And, you know, if we're really going at it, we say that they would repent. Could you get that group to repent over there and then our church would be happy again and all this? I would suggest that that is not the most fruitful way to pray. I would suggest that the most more fruitful way to pray is to start praying this way. Where are you in the middle of this? And what do you want to do? And wait on that answer. See, what I'm suggesting is to pray to God, could you get that group to repent? It's not depending on God. It's depending on our picture of what the situation is. But when we pray, Lord, where are you in the middle of this and what do you want to do? That's depending on God. To be asking, you know, get this squared away, straightened out, changed up, whatever it is depending on our picture. And that is what Jesus would call hypocrisy. Because it's godless. It's leaning on our own understanding. But to start asking God, what do you want to do here? Can you help me do it with you? Can I join with you in what you are doing? That's God dependent. And it's what he's asking us to do. See, that's where Jesus then brings the straight shot to them. You can tell when it's going to rain, you can tell when it's going to get hot, but you can't tell the signs of the times. And the signs of the times are the things that God is doing. I mean, you can observe all different kinds of things around and have observations and opinions and listen to other people about it and see this is what seems to be happening today, but that would not be the signs of the times. The signs of the times are when you see God in the middle of what's going on today and you start tapping in to what God wants to do in the middle of all that. You start catching it. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. They could see the winds of the earth, but not the winds of God. One of the places I read about this said. So let me just make some suggestions. To avoid being a hypocrite, this is what I suggest. Ask God, where are you right now? Do you see how that's very different from these guys are driving me nuts? I don't know what's going on. This is really going downhill, or what in the world, or whatever it might be. That's us. But we ask God, where are you right now? And in any situation, especially one that's tough, be asking God, where are you? What are you doing? May I join you in that? That's the first step to avoid hypocrisy right there. Second, start making that the rhythm of your life. For example, many of you have a rhythm of reading the Bible. And in that rhythm, I want to suggest that you make sure you add this. If a verse jumps out at you while you are reading it, you ask God, okay, what are you doing in this? What is it that this verse jumps out to me? What are you doing? And it's usually something with you. And a version of that is, what do you want? What are you up to? But it's, what are you doing How can I join it? And that can happen here. As you come weekly to worship, be asking God, you know, something strikes you in worship, be asking God, what are you doing? What is that? What are you up to? How can I get more of that? How can I be with you in that? If one of these songs strikes you, you can make note of that, but then be asking God, well, what are you doing? Why did that one strike me and not the others? Something's happening. What is it? So that opens you up more and more to the presence of God so that we can see what's going on. So these are the questions that avoid hypocrisy. Where are you? What are you doing? And may I join in? Put that on your refrigerator or wherever you look at stuff, because that's gonna do what you need to have done every day. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here in the middle of us always. You're never leaving us. We thank you that you're always at work doing what needs to be done. And we ask you that you draw us into it. And we ask that we would have your power and your capacity to continually join in with what you are doing every day of our lives. And we ask that for the glory of your name. Amen. Let's confess our